Hello and welcome to season 3, episode 26 of The Dive. I am Kobe, freak counting as usual here on my left. Isaiah laughing at him as usual on my right.
Sometimes.
Every single time that I have noticed it.
Yep. Every time you've noticed it, it's happened.
Yes.
That works
because
for so many things.
If I don't notice it, then you don't exist.
True.
It's like the whole, you know, if a tree falls in the woods and no one's around, it's a big sound, right?
Exactly.
Same.
I'm not looking at him. Freak's not here.
Yeah. Freak's doing
true.
Something.
Wow.
Even no
it's
one's
a two-man
at
show.
It's a neat little trick I've actually developed here.
It's a good trick.
How you doing, Isabel?
Like, this is a good show.
I'm back.
Oh,
my God. You scared me. What's your biggest news of the day, Freak?
My biggest news of the day, LCS playoffs are coming in.
Nice. I like it.
Mordekaiser is re-enabled in pro play.
Okay.
And Team Liquid's going to win Worlds.
Oh, let's start with that one.
There we go.
Team Liquid going to win Worlds.
Yeah, that's big news.
Yeah. I mean, Team Liquid beat the world champions at MSI, so they'll just do it at Worlds. And how can you beat the world champions except to win Worlds?
Fair enough. So, I'm following the logic.
The logic is sound. Like a tree falling in the forest.
Oh, God. I got the callback.
Well, 915 is coming up in pro. You mentioned Mordekaiser. That we talked about 915 last week, so if you guys want to go back and check that out, you can. Relatively, you know, minor patch, a lot of small changes, but one of the big things is that Mordekaiser will be actually enabled in LCS. Yep. So this will be the first time that it has actually been available to be picked in the LCS. It was played in LEC, but it was disabled that weekend. So that seems like the most major change for playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But the champion has been around, you know, for a while now. So I'm expecting players to have put in games, at least in solo queue. And I am expecting to see this get play.
Yeah, I mean, the email went out like early this week, like to let all the teams know and whatnot that, hey, we're in 915. And by the way, with 915, we're lifting the administrator disable. So yeah, I'm expecting the teams to have this prepped. Like, because I'm guessing like a lot of teams had practice coming into it, and you know, before the disable came in, and then you just put the games back on it, you get back on the bike. So I am expecting to see Mordekaiser games in every region this week.
Yeah, Mordekaiser is not that complicated and strong. So
yeah,
it's an easy one to pick up, as you said.
For sure.
Like riding the bike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I think it changes up some things for top lane as well. You know, I think it'll be interesting to see what teams or if it's going to be like all teams actually picking this up and playing it around top lane, you know, and if they are playing in top lane, how much does that change, you know, how junglers are actually, you know, spending their time on the map, since it can be a fairly difficult champion to gank, but it's also good to gank for because he does have fairly powerful gank assistance and, you know, is really, really strong from ahead. But I do think that, you know, we could see teams like especially, you know, some of the teams that we've been talking about who have been really reliant on Aatrox. I do think that you can sometimes kind of like swap Mordekaiser in almost as like a pseudo replacement for that. You know, Dokla is a guy that I think definitely, you know, could be picking this up and playing this. I could definitely see Huni doing it, because he's pretty out there with a lot of his picks. So I'm excited to see, you know, how teams are going to utilize it, because when we did see it in LEC, though it did come out a couple times that week, I don't think it actually won at all. It didn't really do that great. So it's hard to tell, because it was the lower tier teams that were kind of picking it. So
yeah,
you were expecting them to lose anyway. And I'm not quite sure really how strong the pick is going to be in pro still.
Yeah, I know for sure in one of the games it got camped. So he's not going to look good there. Maybe the Malphite change also. We could see some Malphite, though.
Malphite change matters to me. The quick hit on Mordekaiser, his global top 5 league win rate in the summer split is 10 and 16. So below 50, but like across 26 games, you know, was close-ish. They're, of course, building him all AP. Everyone's going Liandry's, Protobelt, stuff like that. So an AP carry in the top lane is mostly where he's played. It's actually every single game in pro so far has been top lane. So it's only been that role across the game. So yeah, Malphite, to your point, I think Malphite does have a chance going in. I actually really enjoy that the Malphite rework added an attack reset that tends to favor skilled players more, just using the mechanics. They added some extra slow to the Q. They added the extra damage to the W. His win rate went up like 2% or 2.5%. Like, it was actually a pretty big deal, even in high elo. So, I think he's like inviolable tier now. And like, we know he's good in a champions like Jace. Like, and everyone loves playing Jace and like AD Cannon and stuff. So he should be, I think he should be totally viable. And like, Malphite should be a consideration for every team in playoffs.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I know we were talking a little bit about Malphite last week. Also, the possibility of like W max versus melee matchups and doing that sort of thing can be pretty strong as well. There's not like a huge amount of outplay against Malphite. You know, you kind of just have to like stat him down. So against picks even like Aurelia and things like that, it can be fairly effective. Like Aurelia wants to dash around, great. Mm-hmm. The only thing you have to really hit is your E. Like it's not that complicated.
Yeah.
So you can be pretty tough to actually push out a lane. And that could get us some Malphite play, which would be interesting because we haven't really been seeing many tanks. We've been seeing a little bit of Poppy. Aatrox does kind of fill, I guess, a pseudo frontline role, but we really haven't been getting many tanks at all for quite some time.
For top, I mean, it's been heavy bruisers at most, really.
Yeah, definitely the case. But another thing that we have to talk about a little bit is the season ending, right? So we have, you know, we have our top six, but we also have to say goodbye to some of the teams at the bottom. And this is actually going to be the last time, last weekend, we see Echo Fox, according to the ESPN reports, actually play as, you know, we're assuming that they are getting bought out by another team.
Yeah, their slot is going to Sentinels as reported. Sentinels, formerly Phoenix One, also LA Gladiators. So that's the slot ownership group, as reports say. So we'll see that come out. I'm kind of curious what happens to those players. I'm curious what happens to like whatever that lineup becomes and how kind of fast out the gate they can go.
I'm most curious what happens to Rick Fox because honestly, I don't really care much about the other parts of that team.
Okay, fair.
They were last place. Getting destroyed. I mean, I do care about the individual players, but I really hope Rick, you know, stays involved.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually pretty cool how the community rallied around him and his climb out of iron from being, well, he was actually number like the 82nd away from being the worst possible player on the North American ranked server. And he climbed all the way up to Iron 3, I think he is at now. He hit Iron 2 at one point. And it's cool to see him, you know, so motivated and all these like tweets and stuff that he's interacting with everybody and getting everybody back on.
Yeah. I mean, I think it'd be really a missed opportunity for, you know, if they are sold and someone buys their spot to not give Rick like a position. Right. Like, I think that, you know, and maybe he doesn't want to, you know, be involved with a team that's not like under his brand because Echo Fox obviously is
still exists.
His thing. Right.
Sonic Fox is still great. Like, yeah, you know, there's a bunch of stuff going on.
They're involved in a bunch of other games, to your point.
Yeah.
But I think that would be a really big loss for the LCS, you know, not only like his passion for the game and playing and climbing, but like he's been a great spokesman for the community and for esports. And, you know, hopefully he will stay around in some capacity because I think he's been awesome for the LCS. And, you know, it's been fun to see him around the studio and get to chat to him from time to time. To have him on the dive was awesome. He's definitely become, I think, a pretty big figure in the community that a lot of people would really miss if he were gone.
Yeah, definitely. I like the guy a lot. He's super awesome.
Nice ad.
It's just like, I agree. I'm gonna say that in seven words.
Do you like 100 Thieves a lot? Do you?
I do actually.
Do you have the same sentiment because they made a big rally? You know,
yeah.
They were 0-5. What was their 0-5 was their streak?
Yep.
Also in spring it was pretty bad, but they brought in Amazing. They brought Ryu back in. They took out Someday. All these drastic changes that you have to make when you're in a situation like that. And they actually made a rally to almost get back into playoffs.
Yeah, they got up to the tiebreakers. And honestly, like, I was kind of surprised that in a world where 100 Thieves, GGS, and Optic were all tied, the 100 Thieves was the worst performing of the three, because that felt the opposite of how the games were going and how the teams were performing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of unfortunate. It felt like the wrong time to almost choke in a way, because like their games going in were better. I'll continue to quote that, like, you talk about the 0-5 streak. The first four of those were with the other roster. So, like, to me, this roster went 8-6, which is a winning win rate, which is a higher win rate percentage than TSM at fourth. So, like if you had magically known this was the right lineup and played them week one, they probably would have been playoffs as a fourth seed, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, didn't play well in the tiebreaker. That's really too bad. Like the org, like the players, super big fan of Amazing. I think he's been really incredible. Great player, great on camera. A lot of great things to say about him. Really personal guy. I wouldn't be sad if they changed literally zero players and just came back in a string and be like, all right, playoff team, let's go.
See, I think that their management would definitely be sad.
Sure.
Because 100 Thieves, I know since the very beginning, have taken the stance that they want to be the winning team, you know? And they've put a lot of effort and a lot of money into trying to be the premier brand.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely, even though to your point, like, they've had great you know, increases this during summer and trying to move stuff around. I do not see a world where they don't make some more drastic changes, because I think they want to continue to be the premier brand and they want to be one of the top teams, not just like fighting to get into playoffs.
And I think they want to play someday, right? Which requires changes. And I think that that's one of the biggest things is that you talk to any of the players in the league, everyone is always memeing about how like how it's unfair, basically. Well, I'm not even joking, but it's like that it's unfair that somebody is playing in academy, right? Yeah. That he's too good for academy.
He is. And he's very much too good.
Like he is a great player, and I think that the reason that they are not playing him is simply because, you know, Soligo did not work out mid lane, so they needed to actually make that sub mid lane, which meant now you're out of import slots, right? Yeah. You know, if they were able to find a really strong, you know, mid laner who actually already has residency, that would be a huge deal for them. if you're able to perhaps then like look for a trade for someday for a strong resident top laner, right? Yeah. That is the other option for a team who has an import slot available, who might want him. So I definitely am expecting some action from 100 Thieves, but I do think that they made, you know, a good turnaround to actually, you know, sub in essentially, it was one of their coaches, right? Like Ryu comes back in, as a coach and starts playing again. They bring in Fake God out of nowhere after this 0-4 start with the other roster. So I do think that it was an impressive run given the circumstances.
Yeah.
And I also can't say that there's any world in which, like, you know, as a coach or something, that I would have not been starting someday from the start. Like, oh yeah, of course, right?
Yeah, sure.
Like, you know, it's certainly, I think it was kind of like unforeseeable how it would work out. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they come back with next year, but certainly a disappointing end to the year for them, you know, much better than spring, where they were like kind of hard 10th. This, they were like one game off playoffs, right? You still end up eighth, but like this is a better performance than I think what eighth it normally is kind of considered. But even still, you know, it's worlds to this, right? So that is certainly a big drop off from them, a disappointing year. And I think they're going to be looking to change things up and try to, you know, come back strong for next year.
Do either of you care about the fact that...
Yes. Continue.
Freak's a caring fellow.
I am.
However, he does not exist anymore as I have turned my face away. Oh, wait, I can see him on the screen.
Hello.
Over there.
I'm back in the show again.
Do either of you care about the fact that while 100 Thieves did not make it into playoffs, both of the two players that they kicked and caused a lot of drama in Meteos and Cody Sun did make playoffs, rallied with their teams.
Yes.
Clutch and Optic.
Yes.
They found new homes. And by the way, they aren't just in these new homes. They aren't just parts of them. They are big reasons why those teams are actually better now. They made both of those teams strong enough to get into playoffs.
And they're big reasons why 100 Thieves was 10th place and like barely won any games at Worlds. It's because they benched two of their best players. And maybe there was like, you know, coordination or interpersonal issues or whatever, but it's like Meteos was their better jungler and they sub him out and they get worse. Cody Sun was a better bot laner. They sub him out, they got worse again. It's like, well, yeah, when you keep taking out your good players, the team gets weaker and now you got to rebuild and you got to keep taking out good players. It's like, well, oof. So, you know, yes, this was, I could see this coming a mile away. Like both halves of it, right? We're like, of course, Meteos is still good. Of course, Cody Sun is still good. Uh-huh. Hey, look, those teams made playoffs again. And of course, like 100 Thieves are falling off. So, yeah, this is what happens when you have skill downgrades for roster moves.
I mean, the tough thing about it is obviously from an internal point of view, they clearly thought that whether it was attitude, whether it was performance in scrims or whatever, that it was not just a clear downgrade. Otherwise, they obviously wouldn't have done them, right? And they made the wrong read on that. And that certainly has kind of come to bite them. I think a lot of people are pretty positive about Meteos, but I always find that people are I think kind of like unreasonably down on Cody Sun for his level of performance. He's had a great career, right?
Yeah.
He's not double lift, but
I think people are pretty positive on Cody Sun
right now, maybe. But I feel like for the most part, people are memeing on Cody Sun. People are talking about Cody Sun as not a legitimate like contender for being one of the better ADs in the league. You know, even back when he was on 100 Thieves, I know Freak, you had been kind of a big supporter of his, and talking about him in some of your like AD carry rankings and stuff, and getting kind of attacked for where you had placed him on that.
I had placed him like back in like his like first or second year. I was like, oh, he's actually doing pretty well already. Before he had the Immortals run, where Immortals was like a top three team, I was like, wait, Cody's doing really well right now. And people were like, XD, Cody Dunn. And then he went and got top three with Immortals. Like, I was right.
Yep. But then everyone's playing for the world's play with Immortals.
Sure.
Which wasn't very good.
It wasn't
that
play.
Like, you know, some of these things have stuck with people a lot more than perhaps they should have. And he's been very good. I mean, clearly people weren't super high on him when he didn't even have a starting spot for a lot of this year, right? Yeah. Like, no one wanted to play with him.
Yeah.
Yet here he is in the LCS again and actually performing really well, right? You know, He hasn't died in his last like five games or something like that, and has some pretty impressive KDAs to boot. You know, has been putting out a lot of damage, has been kind of doing the job that his team needs him. He's not like the most aggressive player. He's not like the spark plug for the team. But when you slot him into a team where, you know, they need a little bit more, I think, of like measured play, like Clutch sometimes does, it works really well, right? You know, they already have all these kind of aggressive, crazy players. You don't necessarily need your AD to do that as well. And he's kind of, I like to think of him as almost like the insurance policy for their team.
Yeah, I think he's a solid laner. He's, I think, a very good team fighter overall. I'd put his strength mostly in team fighting. And that's awesome. Like, he had, I think the stat was like, what, 5 in a row deathless games to close out the split? Yep. Like, that's awesome.
All right.
Just impressive.
Well, enough with the teams that didn't make playoffs.
Excuse me, Clutch did. How dare you?
Let's get it. Yeah, that we're still going to keep talking about Clutch.
Okay. What about GGS and FlyQuest, though? Do we care? We don't have to care. FlyQuest are going to be in the regional qualifier.
What you got to say about them?
Golden Guidance done for the year. We'll see them next year. FlyQuest are going to be in the World's Gauntlet.
Yeah, I know FlyQuest are
rounded it up.
FlyQuest are really looking forward to the Gauntlet play, and they were talking about having everything in their practice all be pointed towards Gauntlet play. I hope that works out, because this was our fourth place team from summer that just completely fell off the deep end.
No roster changes.
Or in spring, and then fell off the deep end here. Summer has been absolutely just, it felt like they just stopped doing half of the things that they were doing in spring.
Yeah, they have not looked very good the last couple weeks. I think Viper has been looking pretty poor as well. Like, he's been, like, his Tristana game was, like, I feel like one of the worst games of split from, like, anyone. It was, like, really disappointing, because he's an extremely talented player mechanically, and, you know, he was kind of really failing to execute in a lot of different fights on the Tristana. You know, he gets solo killed in lane, doesn't Buster Shot away, you know, what would have been a guaranteed Baron. Like, that should be a simple play. You just R away the jungler, you get the guaranteed Baron. Then, after not having done that, he actually saves the jungler with his Buster Shot, knocking him over the wall like a full second or two too late. You know, he just like wanders into a Yumi ult that had already been being channeled, like loses all his health, they lose a team fight off that. Like, there was a lot of really disappointing plays, and I'm not sure really what happened with FlyQuest, but certainly their performance has been really poor. I think the most notable drop for me has kind of been with Santorin. I think Santorin was so good in spring. He seemed like he was nowhere to be found in summer at all. I kind of have him as one of the worst junglers in the league in summer, honestly. Like, it didn't feel like he really got anything done, whereas he was the only one outside of the top three to even make All-Pro in spring, right? And a lot of people were talking about him as perhaps even like the second best jungler in the league. So that was really weird to me. I don't have a lot of hopes for them for Gauntlet, because their performance has been so bad compared to what it was in spring.
Yeah.
But for Golden Guardians, you know, it's obviously going to feel worse making playoffs and then not even having a shot at Gauntlet, because they do miss out here. And, you know, it's another team that was, you know, like this close, right? It's one game off, just like 100 Thieves, but Optic had the bad end of that in spring, and now they're the ones that are getting to kind of reap the rewards here.
Yeah, the FlyQuest regional qualifier run just feels like it's not going to happen. Like, the end of the season, a 3-game loss streak, including to Echo Fox, including to Clutch, which is like a likely opponent for them, or TSM, who's probably a likely opponent for them. So I just don't see it happening. I think they're out in the first round. I think it's, you know, it's really unfortunate, because it's just weird that it just didn't happen. I believed in them the entire split up until they couldn't do it anymore. I was like, okay, well, they're bad now, but don't worry, it's because they're practicing with Wadid. And then Wadid comes in and it's like, well, they're still bad, but they'll turn it around. And they never did. So unlucky. We'll see him next year. It's just like every week I was on the dive and I'm like, but FlyQuest gonna turn it around though. But no, they never did. Otherwise, for the rest of the teams that aren't going to make it, it's like, okay, well, we'll just see you next year, whatever. To me, I'm excited for quarterfinals.
Mm-hmm.
If y'all are excited for quarterfinals, talk about those teams.
All right, TSM versus Clutch. That is going to be
Saturday.
Our first quarterfinal matchup. And last time these two teams did play was kind of the infamous game, where it was obviously Hakuo Thresh popping off. Not,
I mean,
TSC
that was
now.
The last time that these two teams played.
That's what I said.
In quarterfinals.
Yeah.
The last two Oregon played in
the last time they played was like 2 weeks ago.
Yes, of course. But I'm talking about playoffs.
Okay.
The last time they met in quarterfinals was, you know, the first time TSM hadn't made finals, right?
Yeah.
And that was kind of what a lot of people point to as the beginning of this TSM run that, you know, hasn't looked so good, right? You know, that was not that long ago, but TSM had that 10 straight final run. They get knocked out there, don't make it the next split. They did get back to finals last year, but now, you know, coming into this, we haven't mentioned it yet, but kind of got the bomb dropped yesterday, found out that, you know, TSM, not only are they not starting Acadian or Grig, it's going to be Spica playing. They're not even the subs. It's Streets and Tactical that are the backups. So your whole year is now being bet essentially on these academy players. Spica has two LCS games played.
Yeah.
Acadian and Grig cannot even be subbed in if it goes horrible. So I was like, what? They're not even the backup? Like, that is crazy to me.
It is.
Yeah. I have no idea what's going on behind the scenes. Clearly, like, it, because, like, from my understanding, it's like they even pulled up to the academy coaches to, like, help further coach the LCS team. They're like
Reggie came back as a coach as well.
Yeah. Hey, sometimes Reggie comes in, TSM does weird stuff and actually wins. Like, who knows? Maybe it's going to be like the biggest factor.
It's usually successful. As much as people meme on it, every time works. Reggie has come back, they've actually done better. So,
yep. He's the sage. Like, for whatever reason, it works. So I mean, like, clearly, like, stuff blew up behind the scenes. Like, clearly, TSM are aware of how bad summer has been, that there shouldn't be any excuse for, like, with the talent on paper, with them being the returning finalists, where they maybe should have even won the title as one game away. Like, nothing should be stopping them, and yet everyone's stopping them. They probably should have gone 0-2 in the last week, but they had that one Baron Steel against FlyQuest, who's also like a really bad team anyway, at this point. So it's like, wow, what is happening? They still didn't even look that good last weekend, regardless, even with Speak coming in. But it's like they are doing everything they possibly can to shape things up. And they're like, yep, out with Acadian is the right way to do it.
It's kind of crazy because it's like, at the end of the day, they finished fourth. Their record looks okay. But it's the quality of wins and how they have struggled in some of these games. You know, you mentioned the FlyQuest game. They almost lost to Equifax. I feel like there has been probably 4 to 5 games in the last number of weeks where it's like they went off Baron steals or these things where it was like against lower tier opponents where they're barely squeaking by. Sometimes multiple Baron steals. They had the one game where they won off of Smoothie stealing a Baron, then Acadian stealing a Baron, and they still barely won. And it's, you know, these games, even when they're winning, they have not looked good. When they're losing, they have looked terrible. So TSM certainly not in the position that they have wanted to be, and obviously trying to shake something up and change things around, and I respect that. But at the same time, it's already playoffs, right? They had the whole year basically to try to figure this out. And I just actually can't believe, like, I feel like the only reason this would make sense is if Grig and Acadian are being released or kicked off the team or refused to play. Like, I just can't see a world in which it doesn't make sense to have one of them as your backup.
Yeah,
Spica has no experience. How do you know what it's going to look like when he plays, you know, in playoffs with all that pressure? I just think that is mind blowing to me to not have one of the sub positions be Acadian, who was in finals with you last year, who a couple weeks ago you released a video saying he's our guy. We're with him.
They have never used one of
Logic.
These sub one of these substitute bottom lane players.
Yeah,
you know, all year. Not even just in summer, but it really makes this into like this crazy mystery where we have to just you know, guess what's going on behind the scenes. Like, there must have been some super crazy stuff, because I'm pretty sure I talked to some people. I don't think Grig is full time changing to top lane. Like, he still wants to be a jungler. He was filling top lane for the academy
because of
team.
The behavioral issues that TSM tweeted about.
Exactly. So he is still a jungler. Mm-hmm. And then, as you're saying, like, they, was it 2 weeks before, they had said Acadian is definitely like our go-to. He's going to be our starting jungler. Like, they had decided on that, and then all of a sudden, Spica comes in. He steals one of those barons, to be fair.
Sure.
You know, steal a baron, get a job or something.
Yeah, that's how that goes.
But it's just, it's so hard because you're like, well, is this the jungle position based? Or is there something to do with them having bottom lane issues as well? Because honestly, there have been mistakes from the bottom lane that people have been looking at. We haven't seen, and there hasn't been any public or any, you know, substitutions for the bottom lane for LCS. But maybe that is another avenue. The jungle is always this crazy whirlwind for TSM.
I want to bring up the bottom lane stuff. So in your opinion, because I agree the bottom lane has not been playing to the level I expect of their players. Do you think that is more on Sven or more on Smoothie? Or is it close? Was it not worth that discussion immediately?
I think they've both made mistakes.
Okay.
I think I probably remember more of Sven's mistakes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because one thing
they stand out a little bit more to me, but I think AD carry mistakes always stand out more to me.
Sure. Yeah, because they often just insta lose you a fight.
Yeah. They're squishy and they're out by themselves and whatever. So I will bring up as a potential argument is if they need to sub out Smoothie, Treats is Swedish, I think. He's an import, which means Sven would have to come out, so Tactical has to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's why they have both.
Right. But that's like if Smoothie is the problem, it actually has to be both bot lanes.
But then you can still have Acadian starting, right? It's not like you can't.
Sure.
Like, so obviously there's a lot going on. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just like, okay, sure. So, I mean, clearly they think, like, Speak It is better than Acadian, or they wouldn't do this in the first place.
Yeah.
And if they think, okay, well, what's more important to understudy? Is it more important to understudy the jungle difference in case he can't play on stage? Or is it more important to understudy bot lane because you really are not liking, for whatever reason, Smoothie? Like, if it's only Sven, like, I think Tactical Smoothie is fine. Like, I think that's actually okay, and you understudy jungle, no problem. But so like, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt, like, okay, if it's actually this, no, they haven't shown us that on stage. Smoothie's played every single game for TSM since he joined, but like, and I think he's fine. I don't think there's huge issues for him, but hey, maybe there's something they found out in scrims or whatever.
I think that does make sense, like, when you're talking about it like that, because if you sub out Smoothie, you need to sub both in, right?
Yeah.
So, but it's just crazy because it just goes to show. Clearly, TSM is seeing TSM's problems very differently than the outside world is, I think, right? Like, a lot of people are all on the same page that, TSM has some issues. They have some things they need to fix. Bringing Speak It for playoffs makes some sense, but not even having the backup net. Just, this is, like, the kind of thing I expect a team to do who's sitting at last, you know, in the standings and trying to, like, desperation crawl up towards playoffs. You know, not a team that's supposed to be on the hunt for worlds. But if you're looking at it from the point of view from TSM and you're saying, we have no chance against these teams that are in playoffs as is. We are actually so bad that we will never even win a series. And if you're looking at it like that, then it makes a lot of sense, right? You should try something. You shouldn't just go quietly into the night. From that point of view, if they think it's both bottom lane issues and jungle issues, then take a shot, right? See if it works out. Because it's definitely better to do that than just like sit back and wait to lose.
I mean, a lot of substitutions also always have to do with team communication, and those are things that we don't have insight into because we don't have practice or comms or anything like that. So I think like that adds a whole another layer of why you may think like, oh, TSM views these problems differently than the outside world. The answer is usually there.
Yep. And also, you have Speaker who's an Academy player. He's only played two LCS games.
Mm-hmm.
If you bring in two more Academy players, these are guys that he would be a lot more comfortable with, presumably, that he would have spent a lot more time with. Jungle support, is an extremely important kind of set of players because those are usually a lot of the guys doing vision work, talking, doing a lot of shot calling on many of the teams. So, having that available there with Treats would be, pretty impactful, I think, for the comfort of Speaker if they think he's that important to the success of the team. But either way, that is the world in which we are living. It seems pretty crazy. I'm just kind of mind blown. I mean, I think they should have gone 0-2 this weekend with Speak It. Like, they won off of the Baron steal, but that was like such a missed execution, from FlyQuest to allow them to get it. And, when you're asking about like who's bot laner kind of, or which bot member of the bot lane was making more mistakes, it was actually Sven solo invading the red buff that made them have to go for this Baron steal, just walked in with no vision 1v5 and died. It was kind of flashback to finals against TL. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, did he just throw this game again on Ezreal at the Baron pit?
I feel like it's weird when people say X team should have won or X team deserved to win or stuff like that, though, because as much as that is a huge mistake, then the other team, like, their value is them making the mistake at Baron and getting it stolen too.
Of course.
Right? So, like, you say, like, could have won or mm-hmm. could have lost for sure, but should have.
So the way that I would kind of argue against that is that I think that it's on ease of execution of a play, right? That Baron is so simple to actually execute from the position that they were in that I feel like if you subbed us in, we would get that 90% of the time. And that is, to me, then just such a mental error. Like, there was no difficult execution here. You literally just have Viper shooting the Baron on the right side of the pit where they saw the warded jungler walking from, and he presses Buster Shot, and you get that every time.
So
to me, that's where it becomes like more like should have, because I'm saying should have from the point of view of, I look at you, a professional team, you should be able to execute that play every time. And from that position, I think you should win the game.
Based on that argument, though, you're saying that Baron error by FlyQuest to not secure the Baron is a more egregious error than Sven getting that red and dying for it. You think that is a more egregious error?
I think that it is. It is. Yeah, I actually do. I think that it's like from that position. So it's like I can more understand Sven understanding like, or not understanding where people were on the map, or thinking that they maybe hadn't recalled, or they were on the bot side and he could get away with this because he was having a good game. That is more like I can buy that logic, whereas I can't buy the logic of
just not buster
of just not buster shotting the jungler, because that's what you should do 10 times out of 10. Or the support peeling. It wasn't just on Viper. Viper I'm pointing to because that was like really bad, and then he also saved the jungle with his buster shot. But there were so many people who did the wrong thing in that play that it was horrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I agree. It's like both sides make errors, and there's no way to know who
who's more deserving.
Is kind of silly.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about it from the point of view of like easy to execute play, right? Either way, I mean, TSM going into playoffs, they're going up against Clutch. We know that they're going to have Spica starting, potentially could use the bot lane as well. But Clutch has kind of been on the up and up.
Yeah, actually think that Clutch have looked better and better. And now on this patch, there are some nerfs to champions that Huni uses specifically.
Rumble.
Like Rumble and Sylas, two of his most played. So there might be some things whittling away at possible Huni power from the top side of the map. Even so, I think Demonte's been playing a lot better. His Aurelia and a lot of these assassins, but also people get really caught up because they're like, oh my God, Clutch is one of the only teams, you know, playing super fast with these melee assassins and like this all in style that they have also sprinkled in games of Corki, of Azir, right? So it's not like they do this every time. They're not like a one note for Clutch is always going full press, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And plus, Cody Sun has played Jinx games and stuff like that. So I feel like they do have versatility. I am a bit curious to see if they can actually pull together in a best of five, though. That is something that has not been tested really well for this group of players.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm
really torn.
I'm fairly curious because TSM, as much as you know, this season has been disappointing for them.
Sure.
They did play. I mean, they had multiple five game best of fives in spring.
Yeah.
And were able to pull it all the way through to finals to be basically one play away from winning.
Yeah. But the form seems different. So I think about TSM in spring, and TSM spring was a very, very bad first half and a like 10-1 or something second half.
Going
right?
into playoff.
Yeah. They did like, they were like, okay, now they're on form. They're probably the best team in the league right now. And then, you know, they won their quarterfinal. They beat C9 3-2. Then they like came close to beating TL. And I was like, wow, okay, they're on form. They're playing this well. And bam, there's your limit. You made finals against like probably the biggest super team of all time in NA. Like TL like is an absurd roster. And TSM played them close, which is like a really high mark.
Yeah.
TSM now are 1-1, 1-1, 1-1, 1-1, 1-1. Like Baron steals the tape.
6 weeks of 1-1 getting slammed at Rift Rivals and a lot of those wounds.
And scraping by in a lot of those one and ones, like you're talking about Baron steals and
yeah,
stuff.
You know, several of them. So like, you know, unless we go back to like 2016 TSM that was sixth seed and beat Immortals in semis, which was like,
so nobody is contesting that TSM is as good as spring.
We have had before a TSM that was like, wow, you're really bad, but in playoffs, you're amazing, right? This is an org that missed finals once ever. Like that's or sorry, twice ever. It is both times
they're racking
last year,
up now, freak. By,
yeah, I mean they're racking up, right. So like, so maybe the aura of invincibility is gone, right? And their plot armor has been destroyed. But I have seen TSM be like a dog team at sixth seed and then make it up all the way anyway. Mm-hmm. Like it just happens. So there's part of me that like could just never count them out no matter what happens. But part of me is like, no, they're actually just not very good now.
Yeah, like you couldn't count out FlyQuest.
Yeah, I couldn't count out FlyQuest, and then you know, obviously they were.
You hold on to the past too long,
and maybe I have, right? And so I don't know which one is true. The incredibly, pardon the terrible choice of words, the incredibly clutch TSM, where they turn it on in playoffs because it has happened before, and they have the staff to do it again, and they have Bjergsen still who can do it again. Like I think that is a possibility. Like we can live in that world, or just nope, TSM's mediocre and Clutcher is better than you now.
Yeah, and I mean, to be fair, you know, TSM does have a 2-0 over Clutch in the regular season. Clutch was 0-8 against the top teams, you know, top four teams, TSM being one of those. But, you know, this is not the same TSM played from the regular season. It is going to be a different jungler. There are, you know, are potential nerves there. TSM, I think, a lot of playing against Clutch to me, despite the fact that they do sometimes play Corki and Izir and these sorts of things, they kind of go for these risky plays where they're going to force you to make, like, a really quick decision. And that can sometimes decide the game because Huni is willing to risk it all on one play, right?
Yeah.
Demonte is the kind of guy that is also willing to risk it all on one play. And I think that that is sometimes what makes them so successful against the lower tier teams is that they go for these really aggressive plays. They make you choose how you're going to respond to it. And if you fail that check, you lose, right? And that is kind of how Clutch plays. You know, once they get into a comfortable position, then Cody Sun skills up, they can team fight, they can close out the game. Great. TSM has been one of the teams that has been, you know, able to actually step up and answer that. And has been able to have whether it's like, you know, the kind of presence of mind to make the correct decisions in those moments or just the skill to withstand it. So I do think that, you know, despite these crazy changes, TSM are still favored, you know, going into the series against Clutch. I think that, you know, Demonte has been good, but Bjergsen is still, I think, you know, considerably better and has an enormous champion pool. I think that Broken Blade is good enough to contain, you know, Huni for the most part on the top side. And I think that is where most of the series would be decided, right? Is like, can Broken Blade play well enough with Spica, who is a new player who he doesn't have a lot of experience with, to actually contain Huni? Because I think that that is likely where a lot of the focus on the map is going to be. Cody Sun very commonly is playing to farm out lane and look towards the later stages of the game. And then it becomes about, you know, solo lanes. It becomes about, you know, jungle solo synergy where, you know, that is where Clutch could maybe have their edge and getting in into the series because they have played together the whole split. And it's because, you know, brand new with these guys.
Yeah. I think that Sven should be a better version of Cody Sun.
Yeah.
As far as the bottom laners. And that's why I was kind of talking about during your rant. It feels like you're judging TSM versus old TSM rather than versus Clutch, which is going to be their opponent.
Yeah. So that matchup, I think, is close. And actually, I think Clutch has gotten better and better over time. Like, I think Cody Sun is a great roster change. I think they are, you know, to your point, yes, they've gone 0-2 against TSM and everyone else up there. But I think Clutch are in a good spot. The last time they actually played TSM was back in the middle of July. I think that would have been, like, week 5, like, starting out the second round robin practically. And I think Clutch are in a good spot now. Like, I think they have actually gotten better over time. They have improved as a squad. I think TSM have gotten worse as a squad. Mm-hmm. So even though TSM have the better record, I would say that Clutch is a better team as just, like, you know, if you give them an ELO or something, I think I put them higher. So I actually probably take Clutch in this matchup. I think their players are all playing sort of at sort of the higher end of their careers now. I mean, like, Vulcan's career is pretty short. Demonte's career is pretty short, but I think they're playing really well. I think Huni is getting back on form compared to what he was beginning this split or last split. Like, Lyra seems to be doing much better than he was for the last 2 years. So, like, the Clutch players are all pretty warm right now or pretty hot right now, and I see them winning this series.
Nice. All right. It's definitely going to be an exciting one. I'm super excited to see what different looks Clutch does bring because regardless if they have had some Azir games, some Corki games, you know for sure in a best of five, there's at least going to be some Assassin games.
Yeah.
And then maybe we see TSM also trying to answer with Assassins. Bjergsen played Zed versus
the
Glacials, and he learned that the Glacials is just a hard counter. They're too tanky, too CC, too much CC. But I really want to see some exciting skill matchups, you know, and it feels like we have the players in this game to go back to that meta. It feels like these two teams in this matchups will opt into saying, okay, we're going to bypass on that quirky Azir stuff and go a little bit faster paced.
Yeah, I think that could honestly be a really cool way to play out the game. TSM has gotten, you know, most of their wins from kind of going late and being better than their opponents in the late game, right? You know, whether or not it's been clean, they've been solid in late game. You have really talented late game team fighters, Sven, Bjergsen, great carries, obviously. But you know, maybe that's a way to attack it then for Clutch, is just to be banning the quirky Azir and looking for these more aggressive matchups. We know Huni is obviously famous for his crazy counter picks, sometimes for better, sometimes for worse, right? You know, things like the Lucian top. So that I think is also a big opportunity for them, you know, up on the top side, because we know there's all these assassin picks that could be brought in mid lane. I think that Huni could certainly be preparing counters in the top lane, and I think that could be, you know, definitely a way that Clutch could get an edge too, because they're certainly not afraid of you know, taking a risk on plays like that, like things like Fiora, things like Jax, things like split pushers. You know, wouldn't shock me to see, you know, Huni pulling something like that out, as some of those picks can be actually really powerful against some of the meta top laners right now.
Yep. That could be exciting.
All right. CLG versus Optic then.
CLG, oh, Optic.
Series predictions?
Okay, sure.
Oh, yeah,
well,
sure.
I thought you did. You did TSM, yeah, but something. You
score.
Did Clutch.
I'll go Clutch.
Okay, score.
I want to say 3-0.
3-0.
That's a hype prediction.
That is hype.
I actually, like, the more I think about it, I was like, actually, but I don't think we're in the world where TSM turns it on. I think we're in the world where TSM is a dog team now, and Clutch is better. So I'm going to give Clutch the 3-0.
That is hype. I like
I'm giving Clutch the
3-0. What do you got, Isaiah?
I'm going 3-2 TSM. So I don't think we're in the world where TSM turns it on, but Clutch is still Clutch, man. I don't think that they have to turn it on, like, you know, game five versus TL level to beat Clutch. I think Clutch, you know, is the, you know, the fifth seed for
they are reason. A 9-9 team.
And I think TSM still has what it takes to take them down, though it's a lot closer than I would have thought I would be seeing it.
Yeah, as seen by the 3-2 score for the series prediction. I was also gonna say TSM in the 3-2, because even in spring, all of them went 3-2 anyways.
That's true.
Right? All their playoffs went 3-2, even when they were at their
going
peak.
With the numbers.
And honestly, I do see Clutch winning some games.
Yeah, sure.
For sure.
Three of them.
And losing zero.
I think there's a very good chance still, and especially I'm actually putting faith that Parth and Lustboy and, you know, the TSM staff, like, have a reason for these.
And Reggie and Zix.
And Reggie and Zix. Yeah, actually.
Their staff all eight coaches.
Their staff is very deep now, yeah. That everybody has joined in. But I've got to believe that there is some reasoning that we do not know about as far as communication or, you know, in-game personalities, sure, or something there. Mm-hmm. That they're making big moves for a reason. So I still think it'll happen. All right. Moving on then to the CLG Optic one. This one actually will be super hype as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think this has two extremely strong junglers going head to head. Meteos, pretty much all split long, has been incredibly good for Optic and a huge part of getting Crown ahead, setting them up for their split push victories. Meanwhile, Wiggly has jumped ahead to be an all-star for CLG, with everybody having all these interviews talking about, oh my God, I didn't know he was going to be this good this fast.
Sure.
So it's going to be fun to see them go head-to-head.
Yeah, I mean, much, much improved. Like, huge jump split for Wiggly. Really impressive for him. Biofrost seems pretty well back on form. Seems peak Biofrost. Dick stays pretty close there as well. Really keen on CLG's bottom lane. Really keen on their jungler. PoE is fine. It's interesting because I think at the beginning of the year, I was like, okay, well, PoE is the carry, and everyone else is going to try to keep up. And, you know, Power of Evil can, like, bring his team into playoffs. They could do some good stuff. And it's actually everyone else getting really good around him, where Power of Evil is my least excited player on the roster. He's still very good, don't get me wrong. Uh-huh. Like, he's still a very good mid laner, but I'm just like, you're the least important player to me. I care about everyone else more. Ruin down the line, I think all those players are really great.
Yeah, Biofrost have been doing so well for CLG all split long. It kind of sucked that his last game on the Rakan was a bit of a dud. Where
yeah.
is one way to put it, where he whiffed a lot of the ultimates. And yes, like, the whole team was struggling in this game. But those are, for me, some of the moments where you're like, all right, now we're looking to, you know, team captain here, make some big play, make initiative, get him back in that game. Yep. And you're like, oh. So then I was like, okay, well, maybe like best of five is where you really need those moments too. So I think that this one could be pretty close as well. I'm still going to give my edge, I think, to CLG heading into it. But I have really liked the improvements of Optic on their side. Much similar to what you're talking about, the improvement overall of the CLG level for their team. I think there's been a similar rise in tides for Optic, where Dokla, notorious now.
Notorious.
Has been shouting out the big dokes for a lot of his 2v1 plays and all this stuff. Because it's like Azale always commiserates with these top laners that have to play weak side with no help. Yeah. And I'm like, Dokla embodies that. You know, Dokla does not get much jungle pressure at all, if any, in an entire game. And so
in
he has
an
to
entire
fend-
year.
Yeah, so he has to fend for himself a lot. And it was cool. You kind of cheer for the underdogs, you know. So it was cool to see him, like, you know, perform really well on Aatrox and have a lot of those big plays. But I also wanted to talk about Arrow and Big. Because them playing well duo on the bottom side of the map is a huge part as well.
Yeah. And I mean, so the tough thing for me with Optic is I feel like they're almost the reverse 100 Thieves, where, you know, this team I think is actually a lot worse than what their record is. I think that Optic at their best is actually long past. Optic at their best is this crown split push style that they haven't played for so long. You know, yes, they won their games against Golden Guardians and 100 Thieves, but before that, they had won, you know, two of their last nine games. They were 2-7, you know, in that stretch, right? And I think that they had a really great start. You know, they started 4-0, and I think that kind of as well as, you know, this final good weekend really did kind of elevate them and get them into playoffs. But like the first 2 weeks of the season, 4-0, last two games, great. That's six of your wins right there, right? Like for rest of the split, they really have been struggling. And I feel like unless they can kind of get back to what got them that initial success, I think they will really struggle against CLG. I think CLG has been a more solid team overall. Yeah. You know, they did kind of falter in that last weekend. Yes, Biofrost didn't look great on Rakan, but it was also up against Morgana Caitlyn, which I think is really hard to play into and was a smart and well-played counterpick from C9. But, you know, Optic to me at their best was still put Crown on a split pusher, put Dokla on a tank, and all in on this strategy. And, you know, they played those games out smartly, and they had these kind of crazy games where he's, you know, he's going for turrets and Medios and the rest of the team is trying to actually, you know, delay the game and buy time for them to finish. And I don't think Optic ever looked as good as they did in those early weeks. And at a certain point, they just kind of like made the call to move away from that. And it felt like they never really went back to it, which was interesting and kind of told me that, hey, maybe it stopped working in scrims. But I have always felt that that has been like really the strongest answer for them. And I do have concerns for them going up against CLG, because I feel like when they are not playing that style, they're kind of playing a very similar style to CLG, which is like relatively slow, like macro style games. Yeah. And I think that they're just worse than CLG at it. And CLG has shown us more permutations. Like CLG has done a lot of, I think, intelligent drafting, you know, has kind of shown more different variables that they can bring to the table, I think, in pick ban.
Yeah, I mean, the 7-2 versus 2-7 point is really interesting. Again, I'm kind of surprised that Optic even made it into playoffs. As you mentioned, like they lost four games straight coming into this and then got to tiebreakers and then actually won those instead to pull it through, when you had 100 Thieves who like just beat CLG, showing that they're good, and then lost in tiebreakers right away, right? The form doesn't line up with the results is the really kind of weird thing about this. I guess you can say that they're 4-7 in the second half because you count the tiebreakers. Like, these teams played on Saturday. Like, they played to start the week out, and Optic was like, well, and it was a close game, though. It was like almost 40-minute game.
Yeah. Oh, that's it?
You started talking, so I wanted to give it over to you. You started saying yeah, and I was like, here you go, Kobe. Pick up where I left off.
I don't know where you were.
Oh, okay.
It's too hard to follow the freak brain.
That's true. I really got scouted there. I mean, essentially, it's like Optic did not look to be on good form. I was really shocked that they won the tiebreakers, but they did win the tiebreakers. It means like, despite the fact that they couldn't buy a win, They then won when it really, really, really mattered, which, like, there's always a thing about that where just, look, you turn it on when you actually literally have to win, your season's over. That impresses me. That's still tabled by the fact, or mitigated by the fact, that these teams played each other 5 days ago and CLG was the better.
And CLG was very close to getting a bye, right? You know, C9 really turned it on at the end. You know, they had their 3-0 final weekend with the tiebreaker win, the 2-0, and they needed all that NCLG to actually lose to get the bye. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, CLG would have been waiting in the semifinals, and yeah. I would have thought that they were fairly appropriately ranked for that, right?
For sure.
I think that CLG is the second or third best team. You know, it's, obviously they are the third, as Cloud9 did step up in the final week. But I think that this like, is appropriately seeded, right? And this is the third best team versus the sixth best team. I think that this one, to me, doesn't feel very close, because despite the fact that Optic did actually step up and have a couple of great tiebreakers, I think that their performance for so much of the split, like, became, you know, very lackluster. And I think that that was kind of what we had been seeing was what they really were, right? And unless they really can show us a different side where it's not just like, all right, Azir every single game and
yeah,
hope that you get there, right? Like, I don't think that's good enough to win against CLG, who has, you know, I think a comparable mid laner in Power of Evil who isn't super flashy, to your point, but sure. He's a great late game carry. He plays scaling stuff. He rarely is losing in lane. Like, he can match what Crown is doing if they want to go late. I think their bot lane is better and gets more advantages. I think Wiggly has been comparable or better than Meteos. He's been really, really good. And I think Ruin is massively more flexible than Dokla, right? Ruin has had an enormous champion pool. And Wiggly has also shown, I think, more willingness to play around him. So it feels like CLG has more different looks, right? I think Meteos has been great, but Meteos is rarely ever going to play the top side, where Wiggly could go to any of the three lanes. You could have win conditions in any three lanes. I just feel like CLG is the more flexible team.
So Meteos does play top side somewhat. So Dokla is a negative jungle difference stat player, but it's actually because he gets a lot of pressure. He actually gets a reasonable amount of ganks from Meteos. Like, it's at or above the average, but he receives a crap ton, right? The guy gets ganked constantly. So to your point, like, they don't play around him as much as other teams play around him. That point's still true. I agree with your point that it's 3 versus 6, and it feels that way. That CLG, I think, like, I also don't see a style difference that's very big, really, where CLG, like, player by player, I feel like is better. Like, jungle is arguable, but I probably still take Wiggly. But I think mid, bot, top for sure, in my opinion. And so you have to somehow turn these tables. Like, either CLG is a bad day, and of course that can happen. Like, we see teams choke that exists. I think CLG have, like, a really, really bad quarterfinals record. Mm-hmm. They lose almost every single time.
But they've got Weldon.
And he's actually won a crap ton of titles, that is. Like,
it sounds like a meme, but it's not. They've got a dedicated coach for this issue.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's CLG style, right? Weldon is not there to be a strategic coach. I think he oversteps his bounds and tries to feel like a strategic coach sometimes when you see some of his content, but he is there to be a head coach in the truest sense of the word, of like, here is how we're going to organize how we practice and everything else, and here's Irene to actually talk strats. You go have fun and talk with the players and you know, go handle all this. But that style has worked. I'm shortening it, obviously, but this style has worked. CLG went from a three time in a row seventh place team. Okay, sure. Switching in Ruin for Darshan, I think, obviously very relevant. Clearly a player upgrade, but this formula has been very successful. And so I think they will continue their form. I think they won't choke. I think they are a very good team. I still kind of think they're better than C9 as a squad, despite the tiebreak, whatever. I actually would take them in a finals or third place match. I would take CLG right now. I think they should win this one. I also give it a 3-0. I'm going for the one-sided quarterfinals here today. I just think, like, just across everything, CLG's better.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in agreement, maybe not as extreme. I'm predicting CLG, definitely. I think it's going to be 3-1. I'm just finding it hard to think, like, where is the way that Optic should win this series, unless it's just incredible individual performances or CLG has that you know, bad day, because I think that they play similarly and CLG is more flexible and, you know, and has better players generally. So it seems really, really tough. But at the same time, you know, I definitely overlooked Optic at the start of the year, and they did overperformed my expectations. You know, if Medios has a great day, Crown certainly has the ability to carry games. We've seen Arrow have some great performances. So, you know, if these guys do step up, I think it takes kind of like that Herculean, like, individual performance. But barring that, I just see so many more paths to victory for CLG.
You guys are really bringing me down. I'm excited for this matchup.
What you got?
I think this matchup is actually a good matchup.
It's a good matchup.
I think it's exciting. I mean, Dokla's been playing so much better now. Yeah. And it wasn't just
2-7 second half.
It wasn't just on the Aatrox.
Yeah,
you're only looking at the results. They actually had a full blame on the coach for the last two games before their wins. Those last two losses, they admitted to thinking that Aatrox was destroyed after. Yeah. After those nerfs,
the nerfs, yeah.
Yeah,
adjustments,
the 9-14 changes, yeah.
I mean, you can't just like look at the results. I also think that Crown can make some really big plays. He roams a lot more as well. Like his game on the Corki, going around with packages. Like, I think that Optic have a lot of fight in them. I don't think it's going to be this giant stomp. You have no chance.
Giant stomp.
Get
feet
blasted.
Falling from the sky.
So I don't think
also that, like, Arrow and Big play kill lanes with Draven and stuff like that. I feel like this is more in an exciting matchup. I'm still saying CLG. I think CLG are going to win. I just don't think it's going to be this like Optic are trash and they should know that they're trash.
That's not what we said. And
you made him.
Okay,
Optic
so
are
you
didn't
say trash. You said Optic are 6 seed and they should know they're 6 seed. Basically,
no, I actually didn't say that. But. Like, I don't think that the individual games can't be competitive, because I think that CLG plays slow and they rarely just, like, dominate teams. I think we're going to have competitive games, but they're going to play the same style, and CLG's better, so they're going to win the series. They're doing the same thing, but it's like, you know, if you're playing the same style, if you're doing the same thing, you can expect CLG to execute.
I don't know. CLG never going to play Draven.
They played 2 Draven games the whole year. You think that Arrow and Big... Arrow and Big are going to be executing these sick kill lanes? It's going to be Sivir.
It's a simple example.
He played 8 Sivir games.
8 Sivir games.
8
kill
Sivir
lane.
Games and
kill
5
lane.
Ezreal games.
And, lane. And 2 Draven games.
Yes, 2.
We're in there.
Boom.
Different. New looks.
Different style.
It's all you wanted was different style. It exists in there. There CLG going to lose a ban every single game. All 3 games got to ban Draven. They have to ban Draven and then win bot lane.
Yeah.
Oh,
and they have
tough.
Never played Caitlyn. That's not the same style.
That's true. Okay. Care for that Caitlyn Draven lane. I hear it's unwinnable.
All right. So what's the score then?
Mr. You have positive? To watch your mana. Yeah. I think that is the key
that
to
the
matchup.
Key. As long as you keep that up, you're good to go.
Thanks for
picking up the reference,
charm.
Kobe.
All right.
Do you pick a game score?
Oh, game score? I think 3-1. CLG.
You give the same score as me after all that.
Yeah, but you were the words that you're using to describe the matchup were so hopeless.
That's true. Just coin flip into one game. All right.
This is going to be the game of the century.
All right.
So competitive. 3-0 CLG.
All right. Well, we're a collective 9-2 to CLG here.
Ready for Twitter questions?
I am ready for Twitter questions.
Let's get it.
Nathan Wonder says... hashtag the dive lol, make an LCS all-star team using no players from the top 3 teams.
Okay.
Would that team beat Team Liquid? First of all,
no.
Answer the question. They would not beat Team Liquid. But second of all, let's actually make the team.
All right, here we go.
So they can play the game.
Wait, did we do this?
Did we? I don't remember this question.
No. It's something that I talked about on the last one where there was a question around nominating players for, you know, being all stars or something like that. Right. And I was like, oh, it's more interesting if we choose players that are not in the top 3 teams, but we never made the team.
Okay, Medios or Amazing? Those are my only 2 options for jungle, I feel like. Medios or Amazing, which one is it?
I go Medios.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's like Medios. I think it's Bjergsen.
Yeah, I mean, it's Bjergsen and Instant.
Medios, Bjergsen. I think you could go
Bang
like,
Afro?
Or
are they not on form enough?
There's a possibility of Sven or something in there, maybe.
Is Sol the best top laner?
I mean, I think Hanser, maybe.
Okay, Hanser's really good. Hanser's a really good option.
I would go Hanser.
I think I would go Hanser, Bjergsen, Medios.
Okay, yeah.
And then
it's like Bang, Cody, Arrow's pretty solid.
I'd probably go Bang.
I wouldn't go FBI.
I wouldn't go Apollo. I wouldn't go Turtle.
I'm trying to think if there's any any support that's really impressed me outside of top three this year.
Dang. I mean, Bang or Sven. Vulcan, big. I wouldn't go Big. I wouldn't go Hoohe.
I think it's between Bang and Sven for me.
Yeah, I think...
Really, Sven?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
I still think Cody-san like, deserves to be... I would pick Cody-san over Sven straight up.
Yeah, but I would pick Bang 100%. Over both of them. Mm-hmm.
And that's fair. And I put Bang in first, but I was just like, hey, but what about...
Yeah, it's weird because I almost want to say Smoothie, but I'm like, well, would he even work better with him? I don't know. I mean, Afro, I think they started playing a lot better towards the end of the split.
Yeah,
I think I might just say Smoothie though, just because I almost just want to see how Bang would perform with someone else.
Sure,
because I'm kind of just curious. So that'll be mine.
I think Smoothie too.
So actually. Hunter, Meteos, Bjergsen, Bang, that's a lot of, Smoothie.
There's a lot of old TSM members.
Yeah. And it's a hard no. They would not beat TL. I mean, thing with it, I actually answered this question on Twitter, but it's like TL, every player on their team is top three in their role and they play together.
Yeah.
Right? Like they have synergy.
Team is incredible.
So you're taking people that are not in the top three necessarily or like top three, but not on those best teams with no synergy and putting them together against a team that is years of practice, right? Mm-hmm. There's no chance. I don't think it would be close.
Yeah. I'm not even sure the non-TL super team would beat TL. Like you get everyone of the top nine teams except for TL.
So it depends how much time you give them. So I am with you 100% that if they have a best of five tomorrow, TL wins 10 times out of 10. Sure. Right? But if it's a best of five in 6 months, then I think you could start talking.
But even that is close, right? Like that's a discussion and not an automatic. That's how stacked TL is.
Team Liquid versus any team is going to be a discussion.
Well, yeah. Okay, sure. But it's just kind of interesting, right? That like TL is that good.
Yeah. I mean, when you have they have the potential to win four straight, right? Which has never been done before. Mm-hmm. They are an all-star team.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do this right now, honestly. Okay. Team Liquid versus any players that are not
so
Team Liquid.
So Svenskeren.
Svenskeren and Licorice, I think, are still my top
Sven,
two.
Sven, Licorice. I still think it's Bjergsen.
Yeah,
Bjergsen. I'm putting Nisqy in there, but it's close.
Yeah, that one's actually really close.
And then I would actually say it's 6 Day and Bilefrost.
I think
right
Nisqy's
now.
Actually
6 Day and Bilefrost? Actually, yeah, probably. Yeah.
I think Nisqy's actually been pretty good.
Then I think cool. that's totally fine.
It's Cloud 9 with
just with the recent weeks of Bjergsen falling off. That being said, if we're giving them time to practice, I would think if I made that team and put Bjergsen in it with the C9 top half.
C9 top half, CLG bot half, Bjergsen middle half.
I dig it.
That actually is like a Voltron moment where we made a team
and we used the
different parts, you know?
All right, sweet. Those are our three super teams.
Of CLG.
Team Liquid, Voltron, and that.
They get 2 weeks to practice.
Then TL
the TL.
TL wins. It's not, TL wins, not close.
What's the is there an amount of close. Time where you would actually predict
in the best
the other
of five? I think they get slammed in 2 weeks.
Hey, maybe.
I think it has to be months. It has to be give them a split. Give them 3 months.
Okay.
And then I think that would be a hell of a series. I would be really excited to watch that.
I would give the Voltron team the advantage then after a whole split.
You give Voltron the advantage.
I would give Voltron the advantage.
I still think the funny thing is TL would have still. Feels like they would have such an advantage in the bottom lane that it's
you have to import. You have to go bring in Teddy or bring in, you know, perks and
like
stuff.
Doublelift and Core JJ are just so much better than every other bot lane. I feel that it's
changed my mind. Voltron just can't win.
Voltron
can't beat that bot lane.
Exactly.
Neither can the Power Rangers, neither can any of these other Captain Planet teams.
I don't know, man. The Captain Planet squad's pretty good. They got the power of heart, all right? That helps a lot.
I mean, TSM almost beat them, right?
Yeah.
So to be fair, maybe they can win.
Yeah, maybe.
I believe in Voltron.
Okay. What's the next question, Kobe?
From Joe. It's at Goose.
Nice.
What do you think it would take for double jungle to be the meta?
Oh,
wow. Whoa. So,
My initial gut reaction...
To be the meta, like the actual best optimal strategy.
So my initial gut reaction, obviously, clearly would take huge changes.
Yeah.
I would think it would have to be like the individual jungle camps take much longer to take for massive rewards, right? So that one jungler could not possibly ever come close to like optimally clearing this.
Yep, that'd force
it. But like two could maybe do it and you get so much gold that you'd be trolling if you weren't. Boom, double jungle.
And they have to make it so that it is imperative that you have smite so that the laners don't all just do this shit.
Because you just die to the Gromp if you try to do it.
Yeah, or like if the riches are so, prevalent in the
just
jungle.
Leash red buff with three
nobody
people,
lanes
and then clear crug.
Yeah, that's true. Everyone, it's actually like an MMO. Everyone's five manning their own jungle. They're just roaming around.
Just drops a triforce.
Honestly, the dungeon.
That would be kind of fun, actually, if we had a version of League where it's like.
Right. It's like the creep runs of TFT. You just get items out of this. Give that's me that BF sword.
You start each game with both teams trying to five-man some epic monster or whatever. Yeah. There's all these team fights versus the PvE round.
Joanne was talking about that because she's been playing, my fiance's been playing a lot of TFT, and she was like, what if they just made the dragons, all the dragons in League dropped items? Like in
Dragon's Claw of Killing
Right?
It's
just
streak.
Like, you know, you just pop up, you see a Triforce on that dragon.
You're like, let's go.
That's going to be some priority right there.
First dragon.
Everybody's fighting.
An alarm has to go off. Everybody get your ass over here. There's an Infinity Edge at 5 minutes.
Fun. I mean, I'd maybe scale it by game time. Maybe not, whatever. That actually sounds kind of exciting. Maybe.
Yeah,
I don't want to see that.
There's a pickaxe on the first dragon?
Yeah, right? I mean, dragon used to be 1,000 gold, right? Like, he's making an item instead.
The BF sword, first dragon, spawns at 5 minutes. Get that for your Draven.
Yeah, except for then that would never work in solo queue because me as a jungler, I'm yoinking that every time. I'm like, Draven,
thanks, Karthus.
Draven, you want a BF sword? Too bad.
It's good on Nunu also.
Exactly.
I'm Shojin Udyr.
Should have been quicker on the pickup. Yeah. It's like, all right. What it's we like before next? They introduce Master Loot.
You're rolling for it in chat. Meanwhile, the other team's killing all your
towers. Excuse me, I am the jungle class leader. You have no DK.
Dash.
50 DKP minus. That'll do it. That's it.
That's it.
We're done.
How much DKP you got?
1,000.
1,000? That's good.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, depends how much you get, really. Well, right?
It's all relative.
Yeah, it's all.
Yeah.
I should carry my DKP over for my old guild.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of The Dive. You all get 50 DKP for watching.
Woo!
You'll get 1,000 if you tune in for playoffs this weekend, though. So your 50 is not going to mean much if you tune into playoffs.
Follow us on every media platform.
Oh, then you get 1,000,000.
That's a lot.